I said that Ron and Bea were on vacation. They're attending a family wedding, and they're in Texas. They won't be back until Wednesday. I'd like to remind you of the Wednesday night Bible study. We're studying the book of Ruth, and we start on the second chapter this week, so you won't be too far behind. Praise God. I said before that there is nothing that is a surprise to God. Nothing. Whatever circumstances any of us go through, good, bad, or ugly, there is nothing that is a surprise to God. And I love that He is sovereign and that He is the ruler, He is the king, and He knows me. Praise God, He knows us. He knows every fiber in us. I want to make an announcement. Oh, there, the pastor's letter is here. Is there anyone to hand out our stuff today? What about the pastor's letter? We're going to hand that out as you go out, I guess. Hand that out as you go out. It's on the back. Yeah. Ashley, can you oversee that as we go out today? Okay. I think I've got a little ringing going on up here, Mike. I got a little ringing going on up here. Valentine's dinner is going to be February 15th, Saturday night, serving at 6 o'clock. Now, you don't have to be a couple to come. I insist on that because I'm no longer a couple, but I insist on if you want to come to the Valentine's dinner, you don't have to have a date or you don't have to have a spouse. Please come. It's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time that we come together. It's a nice dinner. It's really nice for us. So mark that date, Saturday the 15th, February 15th. Is there any other announcements we need to make before we move on? Okay. I'm standing in this morning for Ron. He'll be back next Sunday, to your relief. And this morning, I'm going to talk about the Word of God. And not especially talking about the Bible, even though we call that the Word of God. But I'm talking about the actual Word of God. And last week in our Sunday school class, so Sunday school members, you're going to hear this again. But last week in our Sunday school class, we started in the book of Nahum. And Nahum was a prophet that was raised up by God to go prophesy to Nineveh, Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. Assyria was a very wicked country, and Nineveh, the capital city, was the worst of it all. And they were brutal. They were brutal in all of their in the way they treated people. Their main income was all the plunder that they took from other countries, and they were like a conquering country. They went in and they just took all the people out. They took all their gold and silver and all that kind of stuff, and they plundered the whole country and even took their people as one of their own resources. So there's two books in the Old Testament that are dedicated to Nineveh or Assyria. But Nineveh, the capital city. And you'll remember Jonah went into Nineveh 100 years earlier than Nahum. He went into Nineveh and he prophesied what God was going to do. If you don't repent, God's going to destroy you. I mean, he's going to destroy you down to your animals and on and on and on. Well, they repented. They put the dust and the sackcloth on, and they repented for 3 days. They even covered their animals in sackcloth, and they repented thoroughly. God didn't destroy them. So the book of Jonah is a whole lot about Jonah because he didn't like it. You know, he got mad at God. He said, I thought you was going to destroy him. Well, then they had to have this interchange. You know, God said, well, but they repented, and that was... You know, that was this condition. You go in and you repent, God's going to save you. And Jonah got mad about that. So about 100 years later, Nahum is raised up. This time, there was a point of no return, and Nineveh was going to be destroyed. So now Nahum goes in. It's Nineveh 2.0, I guess is what you want to call it. And his prophecy that he goes into the streets saying to Nineveh goes unheeded. And so God is going to destroy them. And it's not destroyed right that minute, but 50 years later in 612 BC, Nineveh was destroyed. It happened exactly like God said in the Word that it would happen. That's how it happened. In fact, it was so utterly and completely destroyed that the ruins were not even identified until 1845. All those years later, that's how completely the destruction of Nineveh was. They had reached a point of no return. Now, we discussed in Sunday school that that happens today. There are people that reach the point of no return. I don't know where it is. You don't know when it is. And I don't know if God's going to tell you. He doesn't tell me. I just keep praying. But there is a point where people will actually plot against God. They will bring evil against God and plot in their hearts and minds against him. And they will reach, like Nineveh, a point of no return. And there was an interesting scripture in Nahum 1:14. We're going to get off of this in just a second, but I kind of want to set this up. There was an interesting scripture in Nahum 1:14. It said, "The Lord has given a command." This is the prophecy. "The Lord has given a command concerning you, Nineveh. You will have no descendants to bear your name." Wow. "I will destroy the images and idols that are in the temple of your gods, and I will prepare your grave because you're vile." And when I read that, the word command stood out to me because that was the Lord's word that came out of his mouth, given to Nahum, and it came out of his mouth. He was speaking God's words. He said, "I'm going to destroy all of these things, and I'm going to prepare your grave." Well, what does the New Testament say about that? The New Testament says that the faithful have a place prepared for them. Am I right? Yes. There is a place prepared for the faithful, for the believer. It is not the grave. It is someplace with him. Whether it's a mansion, a room, I don't know. You know, some scripture says I'm preparing a mansion. Some scripture says I'm preparing a room for you. Doesn't matter what it is. We will be with him. But the word command, that was God's word. And he said, "I'm going to prepare your grave." Well, he commands. Believer, faithful person, those that plot against God. And then I was reminded of what Jesus said in John 14:3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so you'll be where I am." So God prepares both. That's his word. His word. His word. His spoken word. And I really want us to grasp that. I do read this. This is God's word. It's God breathed. I love it. But God will speak to you, sometimes not out of this word, although you'll be reading it and it'll be speaking to you and teaching you and instructing you. But sometimes God puts something in your ear that he's speaking to you, and it's his word. And then I was reminded of Hebrews 4:12. It says, "The word of God, the word of God is alive and it's active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword." And you know, that's when they fought in the battles, their sword was two-edged. It was two-edged. If one side didn't get it, the other side did. One side went in, one side came out. And that's how it did it. It was a two-edge. And the author of Hebrews said it is sharper. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword because it penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. But I love this part of it. It says it is alive and active. It is alive and active. Isaiah 55:11. We're going to go into Isaiah 55, 9, and 10, but right now we're going to say what 11 is. 55, 11 says, my word, this is God's word that Isaiah is speaking because God has given it to him. He was raised up as a prophet. We have prophets today. I'm not sure all of them are speaking what God has spoken to them, but it was the same in these days. In the Old Testament days, there were false prophets. That is nothing new. If we have false prophets today, it's nothing new. Nothing new. So in verse 11 of Isaiah 55, it says, my word goes out from my mouth. God speaks a word. It will not return to me empty. And I put, or void, because some translations say void. And that's what void means, empty. It will not return to me empty. When my word is active, it's alive, and it does what I say it does. It does what I say it does. But, in verse 11, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Wow. Now, for you that have your Bibles, and if you don't, you can look it up on your phone, or you can pick up a Bible in the back here, but go to Genesis. Go to Genesis 1. 1. And you know that's the creation story. And it's in the first 1 through 27 verses. We're not going to read all those, but we're going to get a little bit of more perspective on the word that God speaks. It starts out in the book of Genesis. Now, that's the first book. That's the first book. And let me say this. If you are just learning how to get around in your Bible, if you're just learning that, don't ever be embarrassed to go to the index and say, where is Ephesians? And look it up and get the page. Don't ever be embarrassed to do that. Don't ever. Everybody has to learn how to get around in their Bible. So please, I'm just telling you right now, Genesis is the first book, so it's easy to get to that one. It starts out with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and it was empty. Darkness was over the surface, and the Spirit of God was hovering. And God said, let there be light. And guess what happened? There was light. See, when his word goes out, it does what it says it will do. He says, let there be light, and there was light. And then we're going on down, because we're not going to read all of this, but it says there was a vault, or there was a void, between the water to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault, and he called it sky. And he spoke it. He spoke it. And then let there be light. Guess what happened? Then all the stars and all that kind of stuff. And then let there be day and there was night. And let the water teem with living creatures. And that's what happened. God, all he did was spoke it. Now, God is eternal and he's in eternity and they don't have times. But when it was all translated for us, or when it was all given to us, it was given through a human that knows what days and years and all that kind of stuff is. Eternity is not like that. Eternity has no time frame. But it was given to us. Creation was in 7 days. There was years and months and days and all hours. Time has been set in place. So he says in Isaiah 55:11, my word will accomplish what I desire. In Genesis, he just says it and it happens. He just says it and it's accomplished. So with the word, God created it all. Let there be lights. Or let there be light. And then he created a man. All the things that he did, he even said, you know, the trees and the water and the fish and the animals, all of that. A word is what how creation happened. It is living word speaking to deadness. It's speaking to emptiness. It is speaking to a void. And when he spoke it to all that empty void, it was created. Have you ever felt empty? Boy, I have. I have felt like there was nothing left in me before. I mean, there was nothing. You would have to scrape me up. I mean, I was not even together. And, things can happen in your life. And in my life, nobody has a monopoly. And I say that with all kindness and respect, because some people think they've had it worse than others. There is, because we are all part of the human race, there is nobody that has a monopoly on hardship or heartache or any of that. And sometimes it'll knock you off your feet. It'll knock you off balance. And it's hard to get back. It's hard to get back. And maybe you've reached an age where things are coming back to you that happened to you in years. And the devil's coming back and he is haunting you with things. Don't get knocked off balance. Don't let yourself become empty, because God will speak a word to you. And he will fill you up. He will create in you what has been taken out. Or he will create in you what needs to be there. And we all have been there. I have nothing over any of y'all, and y'all have nothing over me. Man, if you have any age on you at all, you've lived through some stuff. You've lived through some stuff. So it was with his word that the sky, the earth, the trees, the water, the heavens, and all that was created. How powerful is the word of God. His promises are his word. So when we read in here that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, claim that. When we read in here that he will fill you up to overflowing, take that. When you read in here that we are like stars that are shining in the universe, take that. Lord, I want to be that star that's shining in the universe. His word's powerful. He spoke to the void and the creation happened. And you know that everything around us is alive, because the word of God is alive. It is alive. It is alive. There's nothing dead about the word of God. And it's because he spoke all those things so many years ago that life happened and that we are here. And the word that you pray, the word that you pray to the Lord is not empty. And it doesn't hit or reach an empty heaven. It doesn't reach an empty God. The word that you pray is alive. It does not return void either. And it does not return dead either. Because every word spoken by God has life. I know I'm repeating myself over and over, but I want us all to walk out of here today grasping that I have the alive words of God in me that moves mountains, that heals people, that restores relationships. It's that mighty, living word of God, of God. And we don't tinker around with the Bible. We don't take scripture out of context and abuse this word. This is God's almighty word. And when you're praying, pray that he will show you how to put all this together. And he will. He will. He will say, this scripture belongs here. This scripture is with this scripture. And he will say, look, you already know all of this. He starts working inside of you. And all the scripture starts becoming alive to you. You read it and you get all excited because, oh, you're already feeling all of that inside of you, because he is the one that's transforming all of that in you. He is. He's creating new in you and in me. Okay, when God answers your prayer, it's never just what you prayed. Guarantee it. It is never just what you prayed. It's better than what you prayed. It's in more abundance. When God created the earth, it was in abundance. It wasn't just a tree here and a tree there. No, it was lush and it was in abundance. That's how God answers prayer. It's in abundance. So whatever you pray, it doesn't ever happen just like the way you prayed, because you don't see the overall picture like God does. He answers in abundance. So I'm going to go back to Isaiah real quick. And in 55, and we read 11 where it says, my word does not return to me void. Well, I want us to read 9 and 10. And if you've got that, I'm going to go ahead and start reading it. But this is Isaiah 55, 9 and 10. And don't ever think for one moment that the Old Testament is not relevant in your life. Because it is. It is. Okay. Verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, this is so beautiful, so are my ways higher than your ways. Now, that's all confirmed in the New Testament, by the way. All of that, what I'm reading, is confirmed. It's confirmed in James. It's confirmed in 1 Corinthians. It's confirmed in all of these books. So, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and making it flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. That's where you connect it. He says, it will not return void. The rain and the snow water the earth, and out of that watering produces crops, produces good stuff. He says, as that happens and it does not return, it does not return without watering. It doesn't return, doesn't get all sucked back up in without water in the earth. It hits the earth, it waters that dirt, and then it makes it bud and flourish. So is the word of God. When the word of God hits your heart, when the word of God hits my heart, pardon me, it buds and it flourishes inside of us. The word of God gets bigger and bigger, and it flourishes and it grows. It does not return void. And then you start speaking that word, and that's, and wherever you speak that alive word of God around to other people, they get watered. They get watered. And you're planting seed, and then you're watering it. You're planting seed, and then it gets watered. And then it starts to grow inside of you. It is a kingdom law. But I will say this. All over the world, God has been rejected. He's being rejected in the United States to a degree that I never thought I'd see. And if a person will not accept the life and the abundance and the prosperity of God, then a Nineveh event will happen. I think we've seen some Nineveh events happen. Maybe in your lifetime. I know you can go down through history and see countries that don't exist anymore. You see cities that are gone. And might I venture even to say you see families that are gone. Families. I would challenge any of you all to go and walk around the graveyards in our very city. You'll see names that you've never heard before and still don't live here. They're not here anymore. Families, and maybe they've been dispersed to a certain degree, but maybe they don't exist anymore. And I'm not saying anything about that, that they experienced a Nineveh event. But I am saying that the more people refuse God, and by refusing God, you almost start plotting against God. There's a wiping out. There's a destruction that happens. Our disobedience will destroy us. Our disobedience will destroy us. It'll destroy a city, a family. It'll destroy a country. It'll destroy a state. It'll destroy all over, wherever it is. Disobedience will destroy you and me. When God's word is spoken, it does its job. When the water comes from heaven and waters the earth, that's its job. That's the job it's supposed to do. And it produces what it's supposed to produce. And the word of God does the same thing. And I've heard people say, you know, I don't think God hears my prayers. They don't seem to be even get past the ceiling. Well, I have news for you. Yes, he does. God hears and he sees and he knows. It's your condition. It's your condition. You may have walked away from God. You may be accusing God. And I'm going to say this. I had a Sunday school class one, or it was a Bible study. I don't remember. And there was a man in there. He doesn't come here anymore. It's been years and years ago. But we were talking about something. We had the Bible open. We were studying, whatever. And he brought that up. God doesn't hear my prayers. I know he doesn't. God hears your prayers. Yeah. Sometimes there's something in us that's just not lining up. You know, it's not right and all that kind of thing. Well, God doesn't hear me, so I thought I would speak French to him. I wonder if he can understand French. Well, when he said that, I said, no, you're accusing God now. No, you don't go there. And he said, well, I think I'm going to start praying in French, and maybe he'll understand French. And I just backed my chair up away from the table. And he said, what are you doing? And he thought I was going to get up. And I said, well, I'm backing up because I'm expecting lightning to strike you right where you sit for saying something, for accusing God like that in front of all these people. You see how people plot against God? You see that? That's evil. That's wrong. That's evil. That's wicked. To have that in your heart. I'll speak French to God. Maybe he understands that. How wicked is that? It's pretty wicked. Well, sometimes when you don't feel like your prayers are not being answered, or the word you're speaking is not being heard, God hears it. Sometimes it's not something in you. Sometimes you will be in a spiritual desert and you're waiting for the water. But the water's there. Don't ever give up. The water is there. Sometimes God has set you aside and he says, it's just you and me. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes it happens. So don't ever give up. Even if you're feeling down about things, don't ever give up. God's there. When you speak his word and you pray, your prayers are alive. Matthew 24:35, Jesus said this, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. Why? Because they're alive. They're alive eternally. Eternity is full of God and God's words. John 1:1-2. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was the Word. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That was his word. He said that. He was with God in the beginning, and he was the word that was spoken and became creation. He was the word that was spoken that we just read. The all-powerful word of God completes what he starts. He doesn't go on to another project. He completes what he starts. Giving to his children an abundant life. And I just want to bring this in. This is just it interests me, but it's kind of like for your and my information. We see that God created the universe. And you know, we live in the Milky Way galaxy. You all learned that in school, right? Everybody learned it. You live in the Milky Way. And the Milky Way has all these, we've got, what is it, 7 or 8 planets. When I was growing up, we had 9 planets. They've taken one out. But God created the universe with the spoken word. Now, the Milky Way galaxy is in a rotation, and it spins just like the Earth spins. The Earth is on a tilted axis, spinning in the Milky Way. The Milky Way is oval, and it is tilted, but it's spinning. It's spinning at 490,000 miles per hour. That's how fast the Milky Way spins, 490,000 miles per hour. And for the Milky Way to make one rotation takes 200, anybody got the answer? million years. One rotation, it won't be in a whole lot of lifetimes, because one rotation, 200 million years, spinning at 490,000 miles per hour. That's pretty breakneck speed. Yeah. You'd have to pack your lunch if you wanted to go on that trip. I can't even imagine this. It takes a great mathematician to figure all that out, about how fast and how long it's going to take and all that. But that's how big the Milky Way is, and that's not the only galaxy. That's not the only galaxy in the universe. They have found other galaxies. That's not the only one. But look how big that is, and it's not the only one. So the Earth spins 1,000 miles per hour and is eight light minutes from the sun. Now, a light year is 5.879 multiplied by 10 to the 12th power. My brain doesn't do that. I picked that up. You have to be a pretty good mathematician to do all that. But can you imagine? So we're a trillion miles away from the sun. I'll say it that way. It's eight light minutes, not eight light years. It's eight light minutes. So there's other galaxies. Well, who created that? God. He created all that spinning, all that tilting the way we are. The galaxies are tilted. Our planet is tilted. There's only one planet in our galaxy that will sustain life. Only one. And we happen to be on it. Yeah. And we're just this rock that just is spinning. And God saw that rock, and he wanted to do something about it. So God's words are alive, and he speaks living words. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's what we live on. Jesus spoke those very words. He quoted that in Matthew. So don't tell me Old Testament is not relevant. It's extremely relevant. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Timothy says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and training in righteousness. And when God sent the prophets to his people to speak his words, he sends prophets to us today. Those are living words he's put into a prophet who speaks it. Those are living words. They are correcting words. They are rebuking words. They are training words that he has put in a prophet or a pastor, a teacher, to bring for correction, for rebuking, to train in righteousness. Those words are alive, and they create living in you, life in you. James 1:22 says, be a doer of the word. In other words, do what the Bible says. Do what God says. Luke 11:28 said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And again, Jesus said, heaven and earth's going to pass away, but my words will never pass away. The Ten Commandments in the Old Testament were called the Ten Living Words. That's what the Hebrews call them, the Ten Living Words. So in conclusion, and you all can come up, God's words are alive. He spoke his word, and his word returned to him in creation. You speak the word, and God returns it to you in what it's supposed to do. You speak the word in prayer. You take scripture. I challenge you, find you some scripture that you can pray word for word back to God, because you're praying his word. You'll say, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. Well, if you know how to read, and if you don't know how to read, you can get the Bible on CDs, and you can listen to it, and you can take scripture that he spoke and pray it back. I do it all the time, because I don't always know how to pray, and you don't either. You know, I don't mind confessing that. I don't always know what to say. I do not. And I don't always know what the will of God is, but I know his word does. People say, I'm afraid I'm going to pray out of the will of God. Don't be afraid of that. Pray get his word. Go into the Psalms.
Yes, amen.
And say, if you've got young men in your family, go to 119 and say, oh God, how can a young man keep his way pure? And pray that to God. Pray the abundance. Pray protection. Just go into Psalms. If you don't know what else to do to pray, go into Psalms and start reading through there and pray those scriptures back to God. He will answer you in abundance, in abundance. And it was his word that caused our regeneration through his son. The word is our spiritual milk. The word is our bread that we eat. And the word makes us complete. And it's because his word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it gets between our attitudes.
Yes.
How many of you want that in your life?
Yes.
How many of you want that word like that in your life right now? I do too. I do too. Let's stand.